three reasons I believe in God. I get this all the time, right? Why do you believe in God, Renaud? Three reasons why you believe in God. I have like 97, but I'll give you the top three in terms of what I believe in God. I just want to tell you guys this. For this setting here, I will tell you that the most significant part of what makes this reality incredible to me is what God continues to do in my life, okay? The way God changes me and shapes me and calls me and speaks to me is a reality that is massive. The problem with that reality as a, here's a reason I believe in God, is I know plenty of people that are Buddhists that would say the same thing. Plenty of people that are Hindus that would say the same thing. I believe in my religion because of what it does in me. Lots of people have lots of warm fuzzies. I do too. God is good. That's awesome. Not a good enough reason, in my opinion, to believe in God, okay? Here it is, these three reasons. First reason that I believe in God is I am blown away by the complexity of the creation that he put together. When you dig into the science that is behind the Bible, it is mind-blowing what happens on this planet and in this universe that comes to complexities beyond our wildest imagination. I get it. You could argue that over trillions of years of evolution, we could get into some pretty complex things. I get that. But when I dig into the complexities of what happens around us, it is mind-blowing to me. Do you realize that this planet circles the sun at 67,000 miles per hour, and it's flying constantly with a perfect gravitational pull that keeps it at the perfect level from the sun so that it can sustain the kind of life we have, with the perfect amount of atmosphere that runs about 50 miles up from where we are and stops. Beyond that, no life can sustain itself, and all of the atmospheres of all the other things around us can't. And within that atmosphere, the perfect combination of water, of oxygen, of plant life, and of everything else sustains an environment in which we could live. Can you suggest that because the earth ended up that far from the sun, and because it was spinning that fast, and because the atmosphere existed that way, and because clouds formed, plants formed, and other things happened, and because plants formed, it generated oxygen, which then generated larger life, which then generated us? Yes, you can argue that. But boy, it's quite a complexity to work through. And for me personally, the complexities of the planet Earth is one of many complexities I love. The brain. The brain. I just want to read this to you because I don't want to miss any of this, okay? I wrote this a while ago, and this is just some stuff that I've found as I've studied science. Did you know that the human brain simultaneously processes an amazing amount of information? Your brain takes in all the colors and objects you see, the temperature around you, the pressure of your feet against the floor, the sounds around you, the dryness of your mouth, even the texture of your keyboard. Your brain holds and processes all your emotions, thoughts, and memories simultaneously. At the same time, your brain keeps track of the ongoing functions of your body, like your breathing patterns, eyelid movements, hunger, the movements of your muscles in your hands as you talk. The human brain processes more than 1 million messages a second. Your brain then weighs the importance of all this data per second, filters out the relative unimportant data, screens the important data. This screening function is what allows you to focus and operate effectively in the world. The brain functions differently than any other organ. There is intelligence in it. With all the information per second it's given, it has the ability to reason, to produce feelings, to dream, to plan, to take action, and to relate to other people. Wow. While I stand up on this stage and I communicate with you guys, it is not unusual for me to be thinking about the sentences I'm going to speak to you in about 7 seconds. Not even kidding. As a matter of fact, I have on many occasions missed a point in my message as I'm communicating, and while my mouth is moving and I'm talking to you about one point, my brain is trying to figure out how to bring that point back in the back of the end of the message and wrap it in and tie it in so that you guys don't get missed. That happens to me on here on a regular basis because I don't really preach with notes, so it's got to happen in my head. And that's while I'm breathing, and my heart's beating, and my lungs are working, and the pressure on my feet's just right, because every now and then I step just over the edge of the stage, and my brain goes, too close, and I step back again. My brain has measured the stage, figured out where I belong, and kept me in the realm while I'm trying to concentrate on you guys. And by the way, while all that's happening, I see some of your smiling faces, and I think to myself, it's so nice to see that person here today. Hi, how are you? Hey, what's going on? Yeah. Pretty crazy, huh? By the way, for the record, while all that is happening, I don't know if you know this, but where is it? Where am I here? While I'm doing that, my eye is distinguishing among 7 million colors, and it is automatically focusing and handling 1.5 million messages a second. So as I do this, okay, my eye just processed 1.5 million pieces of information per second and changed its focus and its ability and its color patterns and everything else to be able to communicate to my brain the other million things my brain needs to know to keep me going. Look, I could go on, guys, but let me just tell you, the complexity of creation fascinates me. And to see the mark of an intelligent designer causes me to go, wow, I want to know more. Beyond that intelligent designer, and I'm going to go a little long on the third service, and I'm allowed to because we got a little more time. So here we go. You guys are getting a bonus today. Here's the deal. Two other reasons. Beyond an intelligent designer that intrigues me, this man comes to the planet Earth. He's called Jesus. He claims to be God in the flesh. He lives an extraordinary life, does extraordinary works, and they are authenticated by history beyond the Bible, other historical people like Josephus and others that authenticated his reality on earth. He then says that he is the Messiah prophesied by over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament, and he fulfills every single one of them, including things like being born in Bethlehem or dying on a cross or being stabbed in the side or being buried in a particular tomb. And you go, whoa, he didn't control all of that, unless he was God, then in which case he did. And then he said, I rose from the dead. The historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus is extraordinary. Tonight, that's one of the questions we're answering. What is the historical evidence for the resurrection? I just want to give you a brief glimpse, okay? The Roman authorities and the Jewish authorities at the time knew if this Jesus comes back from the dead in 3 days, this religion called Christianity, this cult, will spread like wildfire across the world and squash everything they know. They knew that. They were not unintelligent people. So they took the body of Jesus, stuck it in a tomb, rolled a stone across it, put a Roman seal around it, sealed it with the Roman seal, which says you break the seal, you die, punishable by death. They guarded it with a garrison of Roman soldiers, people that were trained to kill, trained to defend, and trained to do it until death, because if they ran away, they would be killed. And this is what they've stuck in place so that 4 days later, they could open the tomb, drag a body out, and say, hello, this is Jesus. He seems dead to me. Anyways, good luck on your religion, guys. Have fun. Suddenly, one day, the third in particular, two women show up, culturally incorrect. The woman shouldn't have been the one sharing the news because women weren't generally thought of real highly at that time. Two women show up. They find that Jesus is gone. The Roman soldiers have run home scared. The stone is rolled away and the seal is broken. And the conclusion by history is those naughty 11 disciples stole the body again. Wow, I want to meet those 11 guys. Those guys that ran in fear to the room upstairs, those guys that walked behind Jesus cowering, those guys that didn't really take much initiative, and they faced a garrison of Roman soldiers, chased them off, broke the seal, rolled the stone away, stole the body, and hid it somewhere. All that so that they could say, it's true, I swear. So then those 12 guys lived the rest of their lives declaring its truth with passion. But the whole time they knew they hid the body. Wow. And they got what out of it? Oh yeah, that's right. Crucifixion upside down, being sawed in two, head chopped off, boiled in oil. Should I go on? The evidence for the resurrection is extraordinary. I'm touching the surface right now. Jesus rose from the dead. And real thinking men and women that have gone to try to prove otherwise have generally come back going, I know Jesus now. Study the resurrection and its evidence historically, and you will be blown away by the wonder of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And if he rose from the dead, well, listen, folks, then we got something worth following. Third and final, the incredible life change in the eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Now, the reason I say it that way is this. I'm blown away by their life change because in history, we just had in a 9/11, remember that? What did we have? We had a couple of guys fly planes into buildings. Why? Because they believed some things, right? They believed, one, that it was a holy war, that if they flew their airplanes into there and they died in a holy war, what do they get? Immediate salvation. So there was a belief system that allowed them to do extraordinary things. The fact that the disciples died on a cross upside down on behalf of Jesus does not blow my mind particularly. Lots of men and women have done it for crazier things than Jesus. But the fact that they did it knowing that Jesus was dead because they lived there, that blows my mind. See, when you actually know something is true, you don't just have to have faith about it. It changes the game, doesn't it? I mean, if I could emphatically demonstrate to you right now that God does not exist, we would all walk out of here and change our game. I hope we would. Because if we could really know that he didn't, why would we follow him, right? So when you know the truth about something, you change. These 11 men stated that they saw the resurrected Christ. And 500 other eyewitnesses stated they saw the resurrected Christ. Do you know what happened to that group of 511 people, give or take? They went out into the world preaching the gospel with such boldness that when they were beaten, when they were imprisoned, when they were chained, when they were spoken against, their words were exactly this: I consider it a great honor to be suffering for my Savior. Beat me to death, but count on one thing. As I crawl out of here, I will go and preach the gospel again. That's something even we don't do, because we don't have that tangibility of watching and seeing a resurrected Savior. But they did. Those 500 people, over the next 20, 30, 40 years, they are slaughtered, killed, destroyed in lions' cages and by gladiators. And this is the single thing they're asked. Just deny Jesus and you're free. If I had seen the resurrected Savior, if I had seen him living and breathing, I'd seen the holes in his hands and the spear in his side, and he had looked at me and said, I'm going now to get a place ready for you. Live faithfully. Dude, bring on the lions. I mean, I saw him, man. The 511 people that saw Jesus lived lives that are so astounding, it blows the mind. Did you know that the 11 disciples, 10 of them died martyrs' deaths, all 10 of them, at a young age, may I add, because they were teenagers when they came to Jesus, followed him. So by the time they're dying their horrible deaths, you know, they're not 70, 80 years old. And these guys, this includes deaths, literally, I'm not even kidding, sawed in two, head chopped off, boiled in oil. John actually survived the boiling in oil and was then sent off to Patmos. And being crucified upside down, I mean, horrible stuff. And every one of them, without question, kill me. Now, if they'd never seen the resurrected Jesus, just so you know, in my opinion, at least one of the 11 might have gone, I'm sorry. I know those guys are passionate about this, but I never really saw the body, man. Someone could have hidden it, but not one of them. I believe in Jesus. And I believe in God because of many more things than that. But that gets me started. I hope that when someone says to you, why do you believe in God? Why do you believe in Jesus? That you can say, oh, sit down. Let's get some coffee. I got so much to tell you. Instead of going, well, I'm pretty sure the Bible's true. And I go to a good church. My pastor is cool. And he says it's true. So it must be. You have no idea how many people live that life. Don't be one of them.